Opening address at the 2013 InterVarsity Graduate and Faculty Ministries National Staff Conference, given by Bobby Gross on March 18, 2013.
Well, there is no single blueprint for accomplishing our mission. No one expert that we could bring in to tell us how to do it. In fact, this year we don't have a featured speaker. Our mission is complex. The past four staff conferences we've taken up in turn each of the four commitments that characterize our ministry, which I'll say more about later. And this year, we're trying to address the challenge, the wonderful opportunity and challenge of how do we pull it all together in a kind of integrated, holistic, coordinated mission. So we're going to talk about stories of mission this week. We're going to pay attention to stories from Scripture, particularly from the book of Acts. And we're going to pay attention to each other's stories, seeking to gain insight. And just echoing all that you've heard in our beginning of our time together, I would say, come, Holy Spirit, and be our teacher for these days. Now, Paul, of course, was an exemplary missionary, the apostle, converted and called by Jesus, formed by the Holy Spirit and in community, the community, recruited to a ministry team by Barnabas, sent out by a spiritual, missional, multicultural community, engaged in proclaiming the gospel, planting witnessing communities, shaping Christ followers, equipping leaders, all in strategic urban centers in the Roman world, such as Colossae. Here's how he understood his call, as expressed to the Colossians. I, Paul, just think of yourselves now as well. I, Paul, became a servant of the gospel. I became the church's servant according to God's commission that was given me for you to make the word of God fully known. This mystery, namely Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he whom we proclaim. Later says, I toil and struggle with all the energy that he powerfully inspires within me. And here's how he understood those to whom he was sent, the Colossians. He writes to them, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God and all spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work. And here's how he understood the ultimate goal of his mission, thinking about Jesus, the head of the body, the church, the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Why? So that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him, God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Paul the missionary. But each of you, each of us, is a missionary. You have a story of your own calling, of your own love for those you seek to serve, of your own vision for God's kingdom coming in the university and professional worlds, even as it is in heaven. You have your own story of being prepared over many years and then being recruited and then being sent out by a community or network of ministry sponsors and partners. Some of you have been at it for a long time. For example, Felicia Anderson, Kevin Ford, and Sarah Mitchell, all of whom were honored at the InterVarsity board meeting last month for completing 25 years on staff. Woo-hoo. And some of them actually worked longer than 25 years, if the truth be told. Some of you are in the middle of your first year. And we saw some of them up here, like Danielle Williams and Wendy Quay Honeycutt, and Tom Corey and Tricia Kermichael. And some of you have just been appointed, like Ryan Weed and Ray Carmichael. And some of you have been sent and blessed by your denominations, like Jamie Noyd and Jeff and Ashley Van Drop. And some have come over from undergrad and faculty ministries, Jana Louie and Rob Howe and Sarah Booth, to name a few. And some of you are associate staff, volunteering your time, like Mary Martinez Tuttle, John Kimbrough, and Yuki Oigashi. And some of you are here, as I said earlier, as guests, because you're discerning, still discerning, your call. For each of you here, and for the 20 or so of our colleagues who are not able to be with us this year, I want to say, thanks be to God for His calling on your life.
Amen.
With all of your intellect and gifts and experience and spiritual maturity and zeal, thanks be to God that He called you. And I want to say to each of you, I know how hard you work, how you work with great heart and no small sacrifice in this mission. And I want to say thank you, and I think the GFM leadership team wants to say thank you for giving yourself to this important work this year and for however many years that you've been at it. We have a great mission. I recently finished reading this book called College, What It Is, Was, or What It Was, Is, and Should Be by Andrew Del Banco, professor of American Studies and Humanities at Columbia University. It's a concise and very insightful rehearsal of the history of the American college, with its focus on liberal education especially, and how that ideal is much eroded and endangered these days. He writes, but what exactly is at stake in a college? And why should it matter how much or little goes on there? At its core, he writes, a college should be a place where young people find help for navigating the territory between adolescence and adulthood. It should provide guidance, not coercion, for students trying to cross the treacherous terrain on their way to self-knowledge. It should help them develop certain qualities of mind and heart requisite for reflective citizenship, and he lists a few of the qualities on his list: a skeptical discontent with the present informed by a sense of the past, the ability to make connections among seemingly disparate phenomena, appreciation of the natural world enhanced by knowledge of science and the arts, a willingness to imagine experience from perspectives other than one's own, a sense of ethical responsibility. When I was reading his list, I immediately felt compelled to add at least this additional one: an engagement with the big questions on the meaning of life, including the plausibility of spiritual reality. He outlines the significance of the college experience in the lives of thousands, and he bemoans how not everybody has equal access to this experience in our country and some of the trends in that respect, and how important it is for society as a whole. He describes the power and the potential of higher education and points out the many troubling challenges, aspects where thoughtful Christians would say, with God's perspective in mind, this is not the way it's supposed to be. Well, this is our mission field, right? The American university world, with all of its possibilities and problems. And we, in this room, we're part of an implicit movement of people and organizations concerned with this mission field. Something like a Faith in the Academy movement. It includes denominational chaplains, Christian study centers, university churches, Christian academic associations, sister organizations such as Grad Resources or CRUSE Faculty Commons or IICS, the whole CCCU, do I have enough C's in there? CCCCU, Network of Christian Colleges, and then foundations such as the Templeton and Biologos Foundations, all part of this movement that we're part of. And our mission is rooted in the overall purpose and vision of InterVarsity, our particular contribution. where we say, in response to God's love, grace, and truth, that our purpose is to establish and advance at colleges and universities witnessing communities of students, of faculty, of students and faculty who follow Jesus as Lord and Savior, growing in these four loves. Why? Because we have a vision to see students and faculty transformed and campuses renewed. And that phrase, of course, unpacks in so many ways. And world changers developed in the process. And in GFM, our particular mission is to encourage and equip graduate students and faculty to follow Christ as they seek to be a redeeming influence among the people, ideas, and structures of the university and professions. As you can tell, we're rehearsing the mission together, okay? Hopefully it's just like a tape running in your head. These two focal groups for our mission, graduate students, we're working with somewhere over 3,500 graduate students. Emerging scholars, whether in our grad Christian fellowships or members of ESN that are headed toward the academy. And future professionals that are headed toward the marketplace. Some 1,200 plus that we worked with last year, PSM groups. And the other big group that we work with is our faculty and administrators. We think we're serving over 1,500 faculty and administrators around the country. And the question to ask ourselves over and over is, what do these students and faculty yearn for? What do they yearn for? What do we yearn for them to experience? Well, I believe that we yearn for them to experience our four ministry commitments, especially in their vocational context. Spiritual formation. We want them to be spiritually formed or transformed by the renewal of their minds rather than conformed to the often distorted values and cultures of their departments or their fields or their professions. That is why we cultivate intimacy with God and growth in Christ-like character through personal and corporate disciplines, including the rigorous study of Scripture and regular prayer that expresses our faith, our love, and our dependence on God. Community. We want the students and the faculty to experience a hospitable, supportive community on campus with peers who understand the challenge of following Christ as a grad student or a member of the faculty. That's why we gather in communities to learn and worship, to challenge and care for each other, to serve as a welcoming place for believers and seekers alike. We pursue ethnic reconciliation by practicing grace and truth and by promoting personal and systemic justice. We also encourage students and faculty to be active members of their local congregations. Evangelism and service. We want students and faculty to be thoughtfully encouraged and equipped, and can I even use the word empowered, for faithful witness, which they long to do, which is so difficult, both as individuals and as a community, in the middle of what we know is an incredibly difficult, sometimes even dangerous environment to be openly Christian and openly commend the faith to others. That's why we demonstrate and proclaim the gospel within the university and professions with love and boldness, calling all to repentance, faith, and new life in Jesus Christ. We join with God's people to serve in our communities and to extend His kingdom cross-culturally on campus and around the world. And then finally, of course, integration of faith, learning, and practice. We yearn for a robust faith to be integral to the academic and professional preparation of grad students and to the scholarship and the teaching and the colleagueship and the institutional voice of faculty. which is why we engage in learning and biblical reflection in every area of life and seek a unity of knowledge and practice. Because the God whom we worship is creator of all, we labor to form leaders in every field who honor God's gifts and calling. We believe that the integrity of these pursuits will be a witness of his kingdom to the academic and professional worlds. I was reminded of this over the last couple of months in rereading the book Finding Calcutta. Craig and I had a chance to interact with the board of directors when they met in Atlanta in February, and we were able to suggest a book for the board to read, and Bob and University Press supplied the book. And it's Finding Calcutta. And we had a book discussion with some of the board members, but I was struck reading the book again by how desperately Mary Poplin yearned for these very things without realizing it at that point in her life. She was so far afield. She was lost, she would say. She yearned for the transformation of the gospel in her life and the love of God's community and the spiritual life in Christ that she now experiences, and a faith that integrates truth with scholarship and service with teaching and calling with work. And the book just is enthusiastic about what God has done in her life when she discovered these things and went on to have a sense of her finding her own Calcutta in the university world. How many thousands of Marys out there also yearn for what we are seeking to bring them? Now, I somehow in the last few days I was thinking about this talk and how long we've been at this mission, and I kind of did a little adding up, and lo and behold, we are finishing the 25th year of GFM.
Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It was 25 years ago that Carrie's husband, Randy, was named the national coordinator, director, I don't know what the official title was, for this new effort that had been kind of incubating called graduate student ministry at that time. And he gave leadership for 8 years, followed by, with Cam Anderson at his side. And then when Randy stepped down, Cam continued to lead for another 13 years. And now we're in the fourth year under my leadership and with Nancy as associate director with me, Nancy Badula. Praise God for our progress in 25 years. Even in the 10 years since GFM has become its own organizational entity within InterVarsity, we have made such progress. 10 years ago, we had 818 chapters on 70 campuses. But now, we started this last year, 195 fellowships on 104 campuses. We've gone from 3,000 participants to over 4,300. We've gone from 400 faculty being served to some 1,500 being served in the last 10 years. But what difference does all this ministry make? What difference does it make in individual lives? Well, your mind should be filling with pictures of the students and the faculty that you interact with every week. I was thought of two conversations that I've had in the last month. One was with Caitlin Hansen, grad student at Ohio State in cognitive science, who told me in a little dinner meeting with emotion in her voice how she had been sinking, and it was ESN that was the lifeline that pulled her out and turned her around. And she's now actually quite a thinker and leader and blogger about how ethnic and racial reconciliation works in the body of Christ. And then at the board meetings, Craig and I had a conversation with Santa Ono, and he asked us to pray for him as he seeks to lead the University of Cincinnati. It kind of surprisingly, finding himself as the president, he's going to be inaugurated soon, or installed, I guess. He now has a chance to lead this institution in the very changing university landscape that he outlined for us in this room 2 years ago. Not this room, but in this conference 2 years ago. But what about the difference our mission makes in the university world itself? So I'm going to tell you again about my friend Sandy Shugart. Sandy and I were in college together at UNC. We kind of discipleship partners. We were on the exec together leading our chapter. The last 13 years, Sandy has been the president of Valencia College. It was previously Community College, but now it's Valencia College in Orlando, multiple campuses. He is a leader seeking to be a redemptive influence in his institution and its mission. He's also on our GFM advisory board, helping us think about our mission. A year ago, Valencia College was named the recipient of the inaugural Aspen Prize for Community College Excellence. $600,000 prize, by the way. And the article in the Chronicle of Higher Education describes the event at the Washington Press Club. It says, an honor bestowed on the institution to Valencia, mainly due to the strength of its graduation and transfer rates, especially among minority students. More than half, 51%, of the college's full-time students complete their degrees within 3 years of enrolling. It's a rate significantly higher than the national average. The institute, says the executive director, wanted to recognize outstanding academic and workforce outcomes and identify institutions to serve as models to elevate community college education nationwide, where almost half of college students, some 6 million, attend. And it's in the Chronicle article says, Sanford C. Schugart, Valencia's president, told the crowd gathered here at the Washington Press Club that it was a privilege to represent his colleagues and the hundreds of community colleges across the country that have done amazing work for years and years. So I had a chance to spend a day with Sandy about 10 days ago, and he gave me a copy of the book that he's been working on, and it's called Leadership in the Crucible of Work, Discovering the Interior Life of an Authentic Leader. And it was just released a week ago. He was at a large gathering of about 2,500 academics and speaking to them in Dallas, and the book was launched there. And it's a wise, I'm just about 4 or 5 chapters in, I read some of the original manuscript before, it's a wise and winsome presentation of how to lead Christianly. He doesn't convey his message in those explicit terms, but it's exactly what we mean by integration of faith and practice. And he told me 10 days ago that the publisher is going to send a complimentary copy to 1,000 college and university presidents. This is the yeast of the kingdom at work in the loaf of a given college, and then out into the whole realm of higher education, and then on out into society and into the culture. This is what our mission is all about. It's walking alongside the Caitlins who are in grad school preparing for their vocations. It's walking alongside the Santa Onos and Sandy Schugerts who already hold positions of responsibility in those places as a redeeming influence within higher education. It's people, it's ideas, it's structures for the glory of God and the good of the world. So what are we doing this week? Well, we're rehearsing the mission, and we're thinking about the mission and all of its complexity, these 4 commitments and chapter planting and chapter building, and you'll hear more about it, as we go along. And we're asking the Holy Spirit to teach us and shape us and empower us afresh for this work. We're going to be doing manuscript study together in Acts, the story of mission that centers on Antioch, and we're going to pay a special attention to the cross-cultural dynamics of those passages. We're going to hear preaching from Acts, and then we're going to have 3 extended stories of mission from 3 of our colleagues, kind of going into more depth of how they weave all of the aspects of the mission together in their particular contexts. And we're going to give each other glimpses of our own stories of mission, what we're experiencing in our campus, what the problems that we're facing, how we might even brainstorm to solve them, what it looks like for us to be faithful in our respective places of service. We'll work on some of that in our small groups. And then we're going to spend time tomorrow evening trying to understand better the direction that we want to go and the progress we want to make as GFM over the next 5 years, as outlined in our strategic plan, and how the Spirit of God has led us to that plan. And we want to glean insight all during these hours together for how we can do our mission work with increasing expertise, excellence, and effectiveness. Again, to the glory of God and the good of our culture. Pray with me. God, we know that you love the university world more than we do. And you understand it in ways that we don't. And you have a vision for how it can serve your purposes in the world. We thank you for that. We want to be part of that. And we thank you that you also love every student and faculty person on these campuses. And you have a call on their lives that they would be vocational missionaries again for the sake of your kingdom. Grant our prayers this week to teach us how we can be more faithful and effective in the work you've given us to do. In Christ's name, amen.